Good evening and welcome to 300, the RC Racing Podcast, with me, your ever-present host, Pete Lyons, and my ever-present co-host, Alexander Haywood. Introduce yourself, Alexander. Go.
Hello, Peter. I'm Alexander. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. I'm very well. This is a little podlet, as I referenced in the last podcast, where we're going to have a special guest on who is lurking in the background, waiting with bated breath at the edge of his seat for his introduction. We are formally this evening packing the briefcase with Magpie Briefcase Venables. Say hello, Will Venables.
Hey guys, how are you guys doing?
Yes, we're very well. We're glad to have you on the show. Now, this is going to be a recurring podcast that we'll be doing with yourself called Packing the Briefcase, from your nickname, The Briefcase. Mainly just a very short one, talking about your experiences at the Euro Off-Road Series, which, of course, we've just had this weekend in Poland, have we not?
Yeah, we just had the EOS in Poland a few days ago. It was a bit of a... bit of a smaller turnout than usual.
Right.
As usual, all the top guys were still there, still okay. Hard in the top 25.
So. Yeah,
was
absolutely.
Was this the second event in the series, Will? Was this number two?
Yeah, it's the second round of the EOS. So the second indoor one so far.
Yeah. I noticed on the heat list there was a lower number of drivers than normal. Any particular reason for this, was there? Or
I was asking people this as well, and I don't know why, because I don't know if it's maybe not many people. People want to travel. Most of the guys that do the EOS, I think, are German.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if many of them want to come all the way to Poland to race there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because last year and the year before, when it was in Poland, it was a decent turnout. So maybe it was just bad timing, I guess.
Mm. So how many do you have for this one? Do you know how many people were booked in for two and four-wheel drive? Or
There's always usually a few people that book in now, I think. But I think in the end, there was about 70-ish in both classes.
Yeah. Well, still a reasonable
turnout.
And
then we had like stock as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's 70. I mean, it's a pretty good turnout. What is it usually, Will? What is it usually?
So usually it's normally in the 100 range. So generally the German ones are more popular. So it's normally around 120, 150 there.
Yeah.
But I haven't been to any other ones other than the German and Polish ones. So I can't tell you guys about Austria or the Czech Republic. No, Slovakia, sorry.
Okay.
But they're usually pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, okay. Well, the German ones are the most popular, but today we're talking about Poland. So when did you leave to go?
So I had a flight midday on Thursday, so it was pretty easy. Just hopped on a plane in mid-afternoon and then headed out.
Yeah, okay. Did the plane actually arrive at the airport with all of its cutlery not shoved in your bag?
This time, yeah. But I'll tell you guys a quick story. Last year when I went, the first time I went, when I got my bag, there was a load of wine on it. So I don't know if the guys were like kind of having some pre's before some after work drinks in the bar.
So your luggage was covered in alcoholic liquid.
Yeah, wine. It was just covered in wine, which, hey, I'm not complaining about, just to say. But yeah, there was wine on it. I don't know how it got there, but
okay. Well, that's an interesting story. I'm not sure it's one I would tell in a bar.
It's part of every US, isn't it? That one to have wine on your luggage to turn up.
Well, it's better. I mean, it's better than having your bag turned up covered in vomit. Or something, but I mean, I'd rather wine. To be honest with you, I'd rather nothing. But it's one of those stories you can tell. So you left on Thursday. That's fine. You flew over. You know, first class. Let's hope. You know, eating. You know, roast panda, roast swan, and dining on the finest of endangered species. And when you got to Poland, how far away was the venue and the hotel?
So luckily, the venue and the hotels are pretty close, even to the airport. The venue's about a 20-minute drive, and the hotel's about 15. So even just getting to the venue is about a 5-10-minute drive. So it's all pretty close and pretty easy. To be honest, as well, the taxis and everything there are very cheap.
Yeah.
So even me just going from the hotel to the airport was £5.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Roughly, yeah. With Uber.
Yeah, that's good.
So to be honest, you could probably get around it with an Uber. I don't even really think you need to get a hire car, to be honest. It's that cheap.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. So you went out Thursday, and it all kicks off on the Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it kicked off Friday morning. We kicked off with free practice.
Okay, well, listen, for some of our listeners who might not be clued up on the EOS series and know what goes on and have an idea, you know, people who are basically, you know, maybe a bit clueless, like Alexander, could you just explain to the listeners how the format works? So what happens Friday, what happens Saturday, and so on and so forth?
Okay. Sorry, just bear with me with my throat. But so generally Friday, you get in, and it usually starts with two wheel. So you'll do free practice. If there's a lot of entries, it will generally be the one or two rounds of free practice. But this time there wasn't many people, so we had six rounds of free practice in the morning. Okay. And then we went on to control practice, two rounds of control practice, and we go straight into qualifying. And and they generally try to do all of qualifying on the same day, two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
So they'll generally try to do all of that on the Friday, get it over and done with. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, we'll just start finals.
Yeah.
Start finals, finish two-wheel drive finals, and then sort of repeat the whole thing with four-wheel drive. So we don't start four-wheel until Saturday, mid-afternoon at least.
Yeah.
So this is a lot easier on us guys, so we're not sort of changing from two-wheel to four-wheel drive and driving styles. So it makes it easier on us.
And what's the control tyre?
So the control tyre is just a Schumacher Cactus in the rear for both two and four. And then the front is just a usual cut stagger for two-wheel drive. And then four-wheel drive got a new Cactus Fusion tyre.
Yeah.
Which was debuted at the last year once.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Hayward, you were making amusing comments in the last podcast about the track. You can elaborate on that if you wish. Because, didn't look exactly flat. That's probably what I'd say.
Very featureful by the looks of it. But by the time the qualifying came around and we saw some videos on the internet of the finals as well, it looked like they actually removed one of the jumps in the bottom left-hand corner of the track. Originally, in the original photos I saw, there was the corner tabletop into three rollers, but they'd removed the middle one by the looks of it by qualifying. But even then, it still looked very featureful as a track, shall we say. What do you reckon? Was it flatter than it actually looked on the photos? Was it quite a fast track to race on, or was it kind of quite a stop and start?
I think it was more of a flowing track.
Quite a flowing track.
Yeah, I think it was more of a flowing track compared to the last one. I think a few people sort of complained about the last one and how small it was. But this one, I found it kind of flowed with a lot of sweeping corners. The only thing I wasn't a big fan of, and I think some might agree with me on this bit, is sort of the S's on towards the rostrum on the right side. It was just a little bit too much, and it didn't really flow. You kind of went left, right, left, right, left, right, and then you finally did a 180 over that sort of tabletop onto the wall of death. That was just kind of, I think it should have been more of a bit of a hairpin. But as usual, Uwe and the whole EOS team, they always put on a fantastic track. So to be honest, the track for me, I really liked it. But if I was going to say anything, that was the only thing I was a bit hit and miss about.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Okay.
So the guys who built the track, do they take the track with them wherever they go? So each venue, do they take the same carpet, the same jumps, same features, or is it kind of provided by the host club or host kind of country, if you like? So did Poland supply that carpet and jumps, or is it taken around with them wherever they go?
No, I think it's taken around with them. Yeah. The carpet they used, this one was the one they used at Nürburgring, and at Nürburgring it was brand new. So I think what they do is they carry it on and the jumps to each event.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they do, because I've seen the same jump multiple times, so I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah. And what about because obviously they have events at the Hoodie Arena, do they take it from there, or do the Hoodie provide their own, do you know?
To be honest, that's a little bit of a... I don't know. I've been meaning to ask them about that, because I can imagine their carpet's pretty old by now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, to be honest. Maybe when I go to Slovakia, I'll let you guys know for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Well, you did pretty well, I thought. I certainly, we watched the results back here in the UK. And were you in the B final, two-wheel drive?
Yeah, with a miracle. I don't know how I did that. I got it into the B final. So,
well, talent, yeah, son. Was, Talon, don't you worry about that. Don't put yourself down, mate. That's a terrific achievement, I think. Don't you, Alexander? And I'll be very proud of that. Well done. Well done. You know, it's a tough competition out there. You're taking no prisoners, you know. So well done from us. And it's obviously great for us back in the UK watching what goes on. I mean, I've got the A-Main final overall results here in front of me. So I'll just give you the top 10 rundown. Obviously, Bruno took the win. Second was Michael Orlowski. Third, Daniel Kobovic. Fourth was Juna Hartinen, one of your AE teammates. Lee Martin in fifth. Paul Crompton in sixth. Well done, Paul. Craggy in seventh. A new name on me, actually. Jessica Paulson in eighth. Jorn Neumann in ninth for Schumacher. And Joel Verlander in tenth. For X-Ray. So a pretty fierce top 10 there. It's interesting to see we have three X-Rays, two Schumachers, two Associated, two Yokomo, and one Kyosho. And also, electrics-wise, obviously I'm very pleased that Paul Crompton did a superb job coming sixth with his Macklan electrics, which is superb. So I'm sure Kev Lee will be very happy about that. But obviously, we think it's great electrics. Neil's running Reedy, like yourself, I should imagine, along with Yuna. So, yeah, a great top 10 there, I think. That would have been hard fought. In four-wheel drive, which there's a bit more to talk about, obviously, the top 10 was Michael Orlowski taking the win, Bruno in second, Yuna Hartinen in third, Jorn in fourth, Lee Martin in fifth, Martin Beyer in sixth, Wesley Van Helmond in seventh, Daniel Kobovic in eighth, Paul Crompton in ninth, and Pekka Lovonen in tenth. So double A the final there for Paul Crompton. Fantastic there for Yokomo and Macklan, and a lot of the, obviously, the top names you'd expect there as well. Now, did you see the incident that has provoked so much comment on social media, Will? Did you see it?
I've seen some of the comments, but I did see the incident and what happened. I saw it with my eyes.
So you saw it live. Okay, well, here we go. Live and direct from somebody who was actually there. What's your gut reaction?
Okay, so I mean, personally, I consider Michael a friend. I've known him for a while, and we used to be Skyping every now and then. Yeah. So obviously, I'm going to be honest here, and not biased to anyone. But from what I saw, Michael did go wide, and Bruno had the inside. And I can say, as a racer, it's sort of a blind area. But I don't think Bruno should have got that penalty because Michael went wide and came right in.
Yeah.
So Bruno couldn't have done anything. It would have happened so quick. Even if he put the brakes, he would have still went in. Well, they would have both collided each way. Mm. I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion is on it. That's the way I see it from a racer's point and from what I saw. So personally, I don't think a penalty should have been given, as much as I hate to say that to Michael.
I think Michael's a good racer, and I'm sure he'll understand where you're coming from. What did you think about it, Alex?
No, I thought the same. I thought Michael had gone wide, Bruno got on the inside. I mean, Michael, like anyone would try and cut Bruno off to try and stay in the lead, you know, kind of get back in onto the apex of the corner as quickly as he could after going wide. But Bruno had committed to go on the inside, and Michael had committed to go back through to the lead, and it just, one of those things, I think. I don't think it's anyone's fault as such. I think it's just a racing incident where they came together and just an accident, I suppose.
Yeah. I have to be honest, my opinion is the same on that. And I'm not going, I don't care. I'll tell you exactly what I thought if I disagreed. But Michael did go wide and Bruno went on the inside. He tipped Michael over and had to wait. But it's one of those ones where I think Bruno's really unfortunate. But it's almost six of one, half dozen of the other, because Michael was tipped onto his roof. And you could argue if that were you, you might feel a bit sore. Yeah. But Bruno took the inside line, and it's so difficult. If you can have one of those situations where nobody was actually at fault, really, even though somebody was at fault, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
It's one of those. I think it could have gone either way. But obviously, things can get heated. Me and obviously Alexander weren't there, and you were, Will, but these guys are winners. That's why they're up there. And there's no quarter given, I think, at that end of the at that end of the wedge, as it were. I mean, when we were at Reims, Alexander, I was marshalling the A final. Being, shall we say, one of the more athletic members of the British team, I think you'd agree. I seem to always get that. I have to marshal on the A finals. You did as well, didn't you? Didn't you not?
Yeah, I didn't this year, but I did last year in Italy.
Yes, in Italy. I did in Italy as well. And some of the driving in those A finals, seriously.
Shocking.
They don't care. They just want to win.
There's one move in particular that I can think of where a certain driver, I'm not going to mention who, but the victim in the situation was Lee Martin.
Yes.
And it was he got past this driver in the A final. I think it was in four wheel drive, and Lee was on for quite a good. Well, I think he was going
for a podium or something.
I think he was going for a podium and trying to improve his result. And he was kind of well up there. I think he was sitting third or fourth in the leg, and the driver who just got past at the end of the straight just nailed him. It was no attempt whatsoever to slow down for the corner. It was a case of you got in front of me, but I'm going to come back through, and just nailed him off the track.
Yes.
And from what I remember, he didn't get a penalty either, which I was thinking the other day, actually, when obviously this whole kind of Bruno thing came up at the EOS this time round, who actually gives the penalties, Will? You hear on the videos the commentator saying, Bruno, you've got to give the places back and Bruno's got to wait. So obviously in a few corners time at the end of the straight, he waited. But who decides whether he gets the penalty or not? Is it the commentator or is there a referee there?
Yeah, so it's usually the commentator, but it's actually not a referee at the EOS, which is a little bit of a downfall.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no commentator. So usually when Scotty's there, he'll call it.
Yeah.
Or in this case, Ollie Meggett was there commentating for the EOS. So he was him that called it.
Yeah.
So usually the commentator that do it.
Because I've heard Scotty in the past do the same, well, obviously do the kind of announcing and the commentary, and I heard him tell people he's had to give places back. I think he might have told Michael in the past he's had to give a place back. So I assumed it was Scotty in that situation, but I wasn't sure whether they actually had a referee kind of giving the nod to them to try and, mention about the penalty, basically. But no, it is just the commentator, is it, that decides?
Yeah, it's just the commentator that decides. So
yeah,
I think it's just sort of like BR, saying like at a BRCA sort of thing.
Yeah.
Going back to your performance at EOS, Will, how did you do in four-wheel drive?
I think it's best.
We're
going to brush over this bit. So next, Pete, say what's the next segment of the
podcast? Okay, well, the next thing is, actually, I'm going to throw something in there to accommodate my generally foolish approach to these things and demeanors. We've now got a little small game show to play that I've devised involving Will, and it's called Venerable. And we've got is I am now going to give you some names of various people called Venables throughout history, okay? And I want you to tell me whether they are real or false, okay? You need to score at least two right. If you don't, you will be paying an all-expenses-paid trip, and I don't care if Mummy Dearest and Dad have got to pay for it, for me and Alexander Haywood to go to the next round of EOS, all on your your extensive wallet, okay? So the Venables game we have. So
Will, you're so kind. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for that. Yeah, so here's the first. First up, we have David Venables, a footballer born in 1985, plays for Didcot Town. Real or not real?
I'm going to say not real.
Correct. Not real.
God.
Okay. So that's 1 point. Okay.
How many's one he got? Point. Pete? How many's he got? How many different Venables have you found?
A few. Right, a few. Okay. So now we're on to Edward Venables Vernon Harcourt. Okay. Born 1757. British religious leader. Real or not real?
Ooh, I'm going to take a chance and say real.
Yes, absolutely real. So, listen, this is for our listeners, not only entertaining, but educational as well, our podcast.
Will knows his Venables.
Yeah, Will knows his Venables. Edutainment at its finest. So, okay, on, so that's 2 points you've got. Okay, so next one. Okay, Adrian Venables. Okay, born in Taplow, 1978. Famous cobbler, so made shoes. Adrian Venables of Taplow, born 1978, a famous cobbler.
Where are you getting these names from, Pete?
Well, the internet searches can turn up all sorts of things.
So how many people have sat there and thought, right, I'm going to search for Adrian Venables the cobbler, born in 1975, was it?
1978, a very famous cobbler, actually. A very famous cobbler.
But was he a cobbler? So, Will, is he true or not true?
I think Pete's just given it away, so I'm going to say, yeah, I think he was.
Okay, it's false. Never existed.
Oh.
Okay, so you've got two right and one wrong, okay? So, just two more. Let's see whether you can get these, okay? We have Claire Venables. Born 1943, British theatre director, real or not real?
Sort of rings a bell. I'm gonna take another chance. I'm gonna go. She is real.
Yes, she is real. Okay, so that's three correct so far. Four correct. Okay, and finally,
does that mean you're playing Mighty OS now?
Finally, no, I'll get to that in a minute. Finally, we have Neil Venables from Winnersh, born in 1982, a mechanic.
Can you just say the town again?
It's Winnersh.
Taplow.
Didcot.
Yay.
So you've got office references here. You know. Neil Venables from Winnersh, born 1982. An automotive mechanic specializing in Audi and VAG vehicles. Real or not?
I'm gonna go with not.
Damn, good guess. No, not correct. So you actually got five of the six right. Isn't that good? Was it five? I can't remember.
I would like to think that they were all lucky guesses, because I can't imagine Will actually knew who they were.
Well, the fact is that I said you had to get a score of two or more to take us to the EOS. So you actually got four or five. Yes.
So I thought if he didn't get two, then he was then he'd have to pay. But because he got two or more, then he's going to pay for us.
Exactly. So I wasn't specific about it, because I was going to say whatever way it went, he loses. So that's the price of coming on the show, really. So that would mean that. That's it. The next EOS that you go to, which will be the next one, which is where? Where are you going, Will?
So the next one is back in Germany, in a place called Down.
Oh, yeah.
So
Down.
Hopefully I'll be there.
Right.
Is that the one where the walls and the ceiling were made of wood in the venue?
I think so. I wasn't there last year.
I think so. Remember from the videos.
It's the one where they had... Sorry, go on.
The one in the videos where, like, they had, I saw the track, it was like an L shape, was it? So it had like a big triple jump going away from you. And then it's like in two sections, wasn't it, the track?
Yeah, that was a weird track.
I think I remember that
It will be there this year. So.
Did Neil win, in two-wheel drive?
Yeah, that's the one where Neil won. Yeah. He bought the trophy home for AE, of course.
Yeah.
I think I remember that one. Good to see that one, then. Wooden floor and wooden ceiling. That sort of reminds me of various school halls I've sat in over the years, bored out of my mind during assembly, probably watching some sort of video by the local Bobby who'd come in and sort of try and explain to you why you shouldn't go running around on railway lines. So yeah, that's all my Facebook announcements are blowing up here thanks to the picture you put on my timeline this evening.
I've never seen the local policeman in the assembly that made you want to become the heatless police.
The heatless police. Oh, don't get me started. Do you know what? That's for the main show, I would say, in probably about 2 weeks' time. Some talk about heat listings and things, but what a farce. But it was, though, mate. As you well know, it was a farce. But that's for another time. So yeah, you obviously enjoyed yourself. Who were you out at EOS with? I know one of the people you were there with who was obviously a bit of a legend to me.
Yeah, so I met Craig and Neil there.
Yeah,
I flew out alone because I couldn't get. Actually, no, that's a lie. I flew out on the same flight as David Poulter.
Yes, the good old Dave. Yeah,
so we were both on the same flight, and he was in. Sadly, he was in business, and I was in just. In peasant economy. So I was only behind him, so I was hoping he could try pass me the nuts back, but I don't think he was having it. I think he had enough of
this. Bit personal, so, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave, pass me your nuts.
that's something you need to make very specific when you ask questions like that of fellow air travelers. Will, to be honest with you, did Dave talk to you at all, or did he consider you sort of like cattle class and not worth associating with?
Oh, Dave being Dave, he considered me cattle class.
Yes,
or just a mere mortal.
Yes.
In his books. So yes. He didn't know me until I came out the plane.
Yes,
and well, he was like, oh, you again.
Well, so. Dave did very well as well, I thought, when I saw his results. So well done, Dave. When he went out there, which is good to see the British drivers doing well. I think it's well worth explaining, going back to an earlier podcast, Alexander, why Will Venables also has, amongst the names like Briefcase, he also has the nickname Magpie. So
yes.
Just rewinding everyone to tell them, gather round the fire whilst I tell the story. You were at Pinerolo. At the Euros 2 years ago, along with myself and Alexander. And picture the scene, listeners. I was pitting with the British team, obviously, and sat right behind me, pitting, was Will, weren't you, Will? And I remember I was working on my shocks. We made lots of changes to our shocks that week on the two-wheel drive. To help with the surface and the bumps. And I remember looking down at my shocks and saying, okay, I've got to take them apart. I've got the pistons out. I've got the shafts out. I've got the springs out. I'm working on all this. I had to change the pistons. And I literally turned my back for a moment. And when I turned back, most of it was gone, right? I looked around and I thought, where's it all gone? Listeners to the last podcast will know that I said that magpies are attracted to things that are shiny. Well, I found my 2mm driver, two of my associated springs that I was using, and I think a shock shaft, all on Will's pitting table. Yeah. He wasn't there either. That's the thing. So in the space of about 30 seconds, he'd helped himself to some of my car, put it on his own table and vanished, right? And it was sort of like you didn't even remember it, Will, which was what was brilliant about it. There was no malice to any of this, and there was no thievery, you know, anything like that. It's that he likes shiny things and can't resist picking them up. So Kev Lee... I think lost some of his tire gluing bands. They just completely vanished one day. Kev was pitting across from me just to the right. And again, they turned up on Will's table. No recollection whatsoever of how Kev Lee's tire bands got there, but they did. And so Alex Springer, very amusingly, has coined the Magpie Venables nickname for Will, and it's just stuck, hasn't it, Will? It's just stuck.
It's just stuck along with all the other nicknames.
Yes.
What can I say?
Yeah, well,
I just saw some shiny stuff and just flew away.
This is it.
After.
This is it. And I think, as I would say, it is always better to be talked about than not talked about. So it's a sign of your popularity, Will. So, I mean, that really kind of wraps it up. When's the next EOS, Will? Just tell us, when is the next one?
So the next EOS is the very beginning of February. So I think it's a few weeks after MK, if anyone's going there.
Yes.
So it'll be good practice.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll certainly have you on again after that. I'll have to cook up another idiotic game show to play with you. you know, Family Fortune style or something. But I will be at MKGP with Abe. We're in for 2 and 4-wheel drive. You doing 2 and 4, Will?
Yeah, I'll be doing both. So yes. I will be there.
You're not there, are you, sadly, Alexander?
Sadly not this year, Pete, no. The world of retail awaits.
Yes, I know. I know. It's very, very sad that you're missing out. I'm not sad at all, actually. I think it's really funny. I'll laugh at you. I'll be racing my little car and I'll be laughing at you selling someone some crap bike or something. But not
quality bikes,
crap.
I'll have you know. Quality.
Quality, yes, quality. Quality. quality bikes. No, I will miss you. I think it would be fun if you were there, but obviously I know you can't. So listen, that's it for this week and the Packing the Briefcase show. Thanks for joining us, Will.
Thank you
for joining, as always, Alexander.
You're welcome.
We'll be doing another one of our podcasts in another few weeks. I was thrilled to see the reaction again that our last podcast got, including some name checks. So obviously, Stuart Harlow mentioned to the legend that is Roger Mills that he needed to listen to the full and frank apology about your vicious takeout. I'm still getting.
I can only hope that Roger accepted.
I think he's probably going to karate chop you around the back of the head the next time he sees you. And go full on sort of Mr. Miyagi on you and take you out as you sorely deserve to have.
I believe so, yes.
To be done for your butchery. I mean, I think when you probably saw the Bruno Michael Olowski incident, you were probably thinking, yeah, what's wrong with that? That could have been worse. You wouldn't have even waited. Thanks. Thanks everybody for joining and listening. Thanks to all the listeners again. And that's it for this week. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Night, guys. Cheers for having me.